Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Howdy, what's happening? Good Monday to you. Tiki and Tierney coming to you from the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage, wild weekend. We'll squeeze it all in. Obviously, Bama going down. Utah handles biz. Harbaugh continues to be owned by the Buckeyes. All sorts of NFL stories. James Harden scores 60 gazillion points in 37 minutes, seemed less than that, over the weekend. Luka Doncic handled the Lakers. He snaps the skid there. Michigan, Juwan Howard there cruising. We have it all. We're going to stuff it in. What's going on, TK?
Don't doing today? Forget my Virginia Cavaliers. First time in 15
Congrats,
years.
Baby. Give it up.
The Commonwealth Cup. All for the thrill of going to get destroyed.
Stop. You never know.
I don't believe that, actually. I just say that to make my Hokie fans, Hokie friends feel better.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hey, a long time ago, Chaminade beat unbeatable Ralph Sampson. I know it's a different sport.
Right.
It's different. It's a different generation. You never know.
That's right.
What's the point spread?
It's got to be double digits, probably 10
or
11.
Get my guy on the phone. Give me a couple dimes on Clemson.
We'll find out. But Bryce Perkins had a heck of a day.
I was
475 total yards, which was awesome. We go on. We play Clemson in the ACC championship this weekend. So exciting days in the Wahoo land. So exciting.
There's a lot of exciting things. And let's face it, we're going to start with the Ravens here. And obviously the Ravens 49ers. We'll get to the Pats, that offense. I know they made a late run, cosmetic. The Pats have a lot of issues. Huge wins for the Texans. A lot of very tight divisions around the NFL right now. Listen, there are things you hype up in this beautiful thing we call sport.
Mm-hmm.
We get really excited for a heavyweight fight. Sometimes it delivers, sometimes it doesn't. We get excited for the national championship in football or college hoops. Sometimes it delivers, sometimes it doesn't. We were hyped about this Niners-Ravens game, and it delivered. I don't know if I love seeing it end on a field goal. But that aside, Tucker, golden foot.
I hear you.
I don't mind that.
Especially how many games field goals have been missed this season.
That's true. But the way this thing started, Teak, right away you knew it was a trade. Boom, Niners score a touchdown. Boom, Ravens come right back and answer. Boom, Ravens reassert themselves. They score a touchdown. Bang, Niners come right back and answer. The elements, what a fun game.
No, this was what football, this felt like it should have been the Super Bowl. I mean,
it may
end up being the Super Bowl. Both teams are obviously 10-2. The Raiders, I mean, the Ravens have proven that they can beat the best teams in the National Football League, whether it's the perceived best team at the time, the New England Patriots, who they really beat up 37-20. And that score didn't even do it justice of how dominant it felt like the Ravens were. Number one defense in football at that time, the Patriots. I think they still are, actually. And Lamar Jackson had his will with them. Same thing can be said about this game. Now, it wasn't the blowout that we've seen Lamar Jackson hand down to the bad and the good teams in the National Football League, but it never felt like the 49ers could get a grasp of how he was going to attack them. Now, they played great because that's how good they are, the 49ers defense. You got to give them a ton of credit.
Only one sack, though, which is something they've been doing in spades this year. They just had the one sack.
And that's what you can't do against Lamar Jackson.
You just
can't get him. He's going to find a way to make a smart play with his legs, pick up 5 or 6 yards. He's going to get the ball out of his hands and throw it away so he's not in a second or third and long type situations. But this is exactly what you wanted to see from a team who we all believe, talking about the Ravens now, who we all believed was the best team in the AFC. Lamar Jackson is the leading contender at this point in the MVP conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, at 10-2, because the New England Patriots lost, they are in the driver's seat to host the AFC playoffs, home field, throughout. And that makes this even more exciting and difficult for opponents because at home, Lamar Jackson, the elements, which he's great in because he's like a mutter. When I say a mutter, someone whose weather's bad, snowing, raining, whatever. He's got the athletic ability and the skill of a runner, but still the mindset of a modern quarterback. This is exciting for the Ravens fans because you haven't been this good offensively I don't think
they've ever been this good. They've never been this dynamic.
Exactly right.
That's for sure.
And they've won two Super Bowls.
Yes.
Think about that.
Ray Rice had elements of... Ray Rice was actually pretty dynamic. I mean, in
his
20s.
But not
Ray
like
Rice,
this.
No. Well, nobody's ever been like this.
Mm-hmm.
And forget about the Ravens. Nobody in the history of the NFL does what this guy does. Listen, you're right. I was holding on to Russell Wilson as my MVP up until the previous, even before the Niners game. That's what I thought of. And I said this on Friday's show. Teak was out, obviously, doing Bedlam. So we'll get your thoughts on the Bedlam game as well. But, I thought that Lamar Jackson had jumped in front of Russell Wilson. I also thought that, and this is a fun game tonight, the Vikings and Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot at stake here. And I did say, if Lamar, because I did anticipate bad weather, I checked on this on Friday, if Lamar's numbers are somewhat pedestrian and they lose a close game, or even if they win but he doesn't play great and Russell shines on Monday, maybe Russell Wilson could surge back in front of him. But when you run for 100-and-something yards and you throw a couple of times, you scored multiple touchdowns,
right,
and you beat the Niners, it doesn't matter what Russell Wilson does tonight. He's the MVP.
Yeah,
so far, Lamar's the MVP.
Look, I think there's some
MVP
people who are still on the fence about
what, though?
About whether or not Lamar Jackson is championship viable.
You still think so?
I think, well, not anymore. I don't think people are. But
did they need to see yesterday?
They needed to see yesterday.
That's
they needed
fair
to see another elite type defense for this season. I'm not saying elite all time, obviously, with
mm-hmm.
the 49ers or the New England Patriots, but they are the two primary, the top defenses in the football this season. And Lamar Jackson handled one, New England, and he did what he had to do to win against the better one, probably, in a lot of people's estimations, is 49ers team, because they get after you on all levels. Their secondary is good. Obviously, up front, they're explosive and dynamic, and he handled it.
He does.
Right? And there was never a point, and you always look at this for young quarterbacks, where it's like, man, he looked overwhelmed. Yeah, maybe he had some success, but man, he looked overwhelmed. He didn't mm-hmm. look like he knew what he was doing.
Not once.
You didn't feel that one time
no.
in this game against the best front, one of the best fronts in football in the 49ers. And that's what should have convinced people. No matter what gets thrown at Lamar Jackson from this point on in the National Football League this season, whether it's in the regular season or in the postseason, you know he's going to handle it with calm
mm-hmm.
and precision and make the right decision, whether it's throwing the ball away, finding a check down, or tucking it and running and picking up 15 or 20 yards. What was that over-under that we picked in our inbounds and out-of-bounds?
What
he
was
run
the
for
number
50?
There?
Of course he ran for 50
take the over
in the first half.
Yep.
But that's Lamar. And that if anybody had doubts, you got to wipe them out now.
I want to play something for you. Then I want to raise a point why both teams can actually play a lot better, the Ravens mm-hmm. and the 49ers. Yesterday was not their ceiling, I don't think. But I want to play this. You talk about scheming against Lamar. Kyle Shanahan, watching this up close, obviously you cut up film all week in preparation,
mm-hmm.
totally different conference, totally different side of the country. Now you get to see the show that is Lamar face-to-face. What is it like to try to stop him?
He's going to make some plays. But we had to change some stuff up and run some fronts a little bit different. Anytime you are going to play 11-on-11 football, you can't just do what you've been doing. So I was happy with the scheme that we put in. I was happy with how the guys executed it, and thought they did a pretty good job at it.
And I don't disagree. I mean, they needed a kick from a Hall of Famer in the rain to win a game.
Yeah.
And so I don't think the Niners were ill prepared. Can I get a little credit for having my defense ready again?
Oh yeah.
The defensive coordinator for the 49ers. Can I get some credit here, please?
That's right.
My boy Rob
What's
Salah.
His name? It's a lot.
Rob Salah.
Exactly.
You guys doing a great a great job.
They traveled across the country in horrible weather against the he is the hardest player in the NFL to contain and manage right now.
By far.
And they did a good job.
By far.
So you give them credit. It was funny what Kyle Shanahan just said right there. He goes, when you're playing 11-on-11 football, meaning if what we actually need is another defender.
Yeah, he's implying we need 12.
You need 12.
This
is unfair. We need another defender to guard against Lamar Jackson. But he's right. They did a good job.
Yep.
Better than most teams have done against Lamar Jackson this season.
Now, here's why I think I know the Ravens could play better because they're not a 20-point-per-game team.
No.
We know that. Here's why I think the 49ers can certainly play a lot better. I mean, obviously it's raining, so Garoppolo, who played in terms of throwing the ball, played better than Lamar. All the stats bear that out. Protected the football, and I thought the Niners made some play. But the touchdown to Deebo Samuel, that was almost kind of a 50-50 ball.
Yeah.
And he's played very well. The last month, he's really carved out a nice role there. But keep in mind, Joe Staley didn't play. D Ford didn't play. Niners had some injury. Now, The Ravens starting center went on injured reserve this past week, and the 49ers dominant front four, yeah. Armstead, Buckner, all those boys still weren't able to really disrupt it too much. So the kid, I forget the kid's name, who substituted for the center who filled in, he did a hell of a job making sure that thing, that's when things could go awry quick.
Yeah.
I thought he played well.
Look, they had a couple of big plays in this game. Like, what we've seen from San Francisco all season long is obviously a dominant defense. They're number two in the National Football League in points and yardage. But it just consistency on offense. It's Tevin Coleman getting, you know, 10 or 12 yards, or, you know,
Breida when he's healthy.
Exactly, yeah. Breida or Kittle, or just methodical, moving the ball down the field, we're going to go score points. Mm-hmm. They didn't have that in this game. So to your point about them being able to play better, what they usually do well, they didn't do well. Mm-hmm. What they did do well that they usually don't was have some huge plays,
yeah.
which kept them in this football game. And so, yeah, both of these teams can play better, but this was a great preview of two of the best teams in football. And rarely do you get this, you know, at this point in the season where you kind of know who has legs for the mm-hmm. postseason playing in the regular season. And they didn't disappoint. This game was great.
It was. And this is where I think it's really interesting. I said before it started, now listen, I'm not going to go through the standings for all the years and start to, like, the first week in December and start to get a parallel. Like, but I really do think, again, maybe I'm being a prisoner of the moment. I feel like at this point of the season, most divisions, not all clearly, but most divisions are somewhat defined. This year, you have the AFC East, and we keep talking about the Bills, that little pesky wild card mm-hmm. team. The Bills have three losses, the Pats have two, and yep. they play each other, by the way.
That's right.
3 weeks. Now, you look ahead. Of course, the Pats, because they get every gift known to mankind. They play Miami, who's playing better. They also play Cincy.
I wouldn't count them.
No,
beat Miami,
I know.
Like,
but
outright.
Still,
I know, I hear you.
But based on what the Bills have to play the Ravens, the Steelers, at the Pats, and then the Jets, who were awful yesterday against Cincinnati. But the AFC East is very tight. The NFC East, you can laugh all you want. I mean, Philly at 5-7 is a game behind the Cowboys. They play again. Then you look at the NFC North. The Green Bay Packers and the Vikings both have three losses. Pardon me. And the NFC West, the Niners and Saints each have two. Niners and Seattle each have two losses, and Seattle's playing tonight. If Seattle beats the Vikings, it's a tie.
Yeah.
So, this is fun. This is not like sometimes you have to craft a little theater. Yesterday, between Tennessee, that was a really fun game. This Ravens-Niners game was incredible. The Eagles losing in Miami was pretty amazing. I mean, yesterday was a good football day.
It was.
Really was. Really was, Teague.
I agree with you.
All
and
right.
Interestingly enough, the Redskins, who won.
I know.
They're still in the conversation.
But conversation for what?
To win the division, dude. I'm telling you.
Listen, the fact that
Eagles are bad.
I know they're bad.
It's not offensively. People want to point to Carson Wentz. It's not Carson Wentz. Their defense was garbage mm-hmm. yesterday. The Dallas Cowboys, do you trust to win a big game?
Trust them if they gave the ball to Zeke Elliott. They forgot about him.
I agree.
Why is Dak throwing 49 times?
Statistically, the Redskins are not eliminated, which is saying something. That's all I'm saying.
No, you know what's really saying something? That they have more of a chance than the Giants do to win
the
division.
That's a good point.
I gotta tell you, Teague. Pat Shurmur, buddy. You want to keep putting that little Heisman arm up toward me. Pat Shurmur ain't going to make
look,
it, buddy.
I
know you like him.
But, you know, Saquon having 10 carries.
It is what it is.
It is what it is,
I hear you,
man.
All right, coming up now, right? Coming up next, at least for now, the offense for the Pats is what it is. Now, there's a thought, maybe Antonio Brown parachutes back into the season. And if he does, that would obviously dramatically change their trajectory. This Pats offense is brutal to watch. Brutal. And the statistical comparison to a player that has been the butt of jokes across America this entire season, he is actually playing better than Tom Brady. Wait till you hear these stats and wait till you hear the name. What's up with the Pats? Big win for the Texans. We'll get to that coming up. Of course, 5-Star Rewind, a Monday Tiki and Tierney staple. We got you covered. CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. All righty, so we're back in the groove here. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, post-Thanksgiving. Hopefully everybody had an outstanding time, a lot of fun, a little relaxation, chance to maybe recalibrate a little bit. Teak was out in Bedlam doing mm-hmm. In Stillwater, doing the OU OK State game.
Yeah, it was a cool trip too.
Good because atmosphere.
It was a good atmosphere. But before I even went out to T Boone Pickens Stadium, I had brunch with my father. And my stepmom and my half sister, who I had met,
yep.
My half brother, who I hadn't seen in a long time.
Is he a football star too?
No, he's an orthopedist. He was in high school. He got tore his ACL. And their kids. It was actually a really good time. We
nice.
Had a long brunch before.
Okay,
and then headed out to Stillwater.
How was the atmosphere at the game?
It was cool.
It was pretty good.
The only thing that bothered me, the game was still a little bit in hand.
Mm-hmm.
Oklahoma obviously won the game in convincing fashion as it went on. They had a back-breaking 93-yard 11-play drive that kind of was like the nail halfway into the coffin. After that, they left.
The fans?
The fans started to stream out. It was the third quarter. It was
what was
like,
the weather? I mean, I know it wasn't
cold. It was windy.
Was it
windy?
Like
20
degrees?
No. It was
43.
It was probably 48.
Oh, that's
unacceptable. But it's very windy. So it was freezing, even though it wasn't cold. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I got you. The wind chill dipped it down. Suck it up. You're in Oklahoma.
Agreed.
We're
looking out there like, are these people leaving?
That's weak.
I mean, it was a good thing they did because they ended up getting, blown away a little
but
bit.
But still.
I agreed. That's the only thing. That was the only
Cowboy
thing.
Fans? What's
it's
going on
Bedlam.
With that?
I mean, you hang around just in case. But ultimately, Oklahoma took care of business, which sets in, we'll get to this in the second hour,
big time.
But it sets up a very interesting scenario with Alabama losing.
Yep.
Georgia's likely. Well, let's say Georgia loses and falls out as a two-loss team.
It's going to be OU and Utah,
or
for the most part.
And Utah.
Yeah.
Who do you want if they both win their conference championship?
I'll tell you what, Utah's good, man. They got about five or six kids going to. We'll do this later.
Yeah.
This is the challenge of a Monday show. We want to hit everything.
There's so much.
And I promise we will. But right now, let's play that name a decaying legend. Da, 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 da. All right, before I give you the player that Tom Brady is statistically compared to since week four.
Yes.
I know we can all count.
That he's worse than.
In certain aspects, yes. So again, I know we can all count since week four, but I want to do that. When you need to, that means week 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13.
It's a lot of football.
It's a lot of football is my point. All right. Passing touchdowns, Tom Brady, 11. Mm. Player X, I'll identify him at the end, 10. All right, it's close.
Okay.
Interceptions, Tom Brady, 6. Player X, 5.
Mm.
Completion percentage, Tom Brady, sub 60%, 59.2.
When was the last time that happened?
I don't think ever. Maybe his first year when they didn't score a ton of points. It was defense and kicking. Maybe when he took over for Bledsoe.
He turned around and handed the ball off a lot that year. So I don't even think then, maybe.
Probably not. Player X, 63.2. So 4 percentage points ahead of Tom Brady there. Quarterback rating, 80.3 for Brady. Player X, 85.7. That's two in a row for Player X. And yards per attempt, a ghastly 6.2 for Brady. Player X, also ghastly, 6.3. Now, Player X has been the butt of everybody's jokes for a while. Would you like to guess who Player X is?
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
No, just this year. Really, really crucified in the court of public opinion this year.
Baker?
Trubisky.
Oh, wow.
Mitch Trubisky.
Oh, wow.
In all of those pertinent, or at least some of those pertinent columns, has outplayed Tom Brady for almost the duration of the season.
Wow.
Process that for a second.
Yeah, that's a tough one to process. By the way, on a season, Tom Brady has never been below 60%, even though back in 2003, he was 60.2. This is uncharted territory for Tom Brady over an extended period of time. But, I mean, that just tells the tale of this New England Patriots offense. Some of it is on Tom Brady because he's older. Right? We see this with older players. We saw this with Peyton Manning when he got old. He can't throw the ball downfield. And so DBs are going to do everything they can to be aggressive in that 5 to 15-yard radius from the line of scrimmage because they know that's where he's likely operating.
Mm-hmm.
He's not operating 22 yards downfield or even 50 yards downfield. He just can't make that throw accurately.
But here's my question to you. Don't you think that Tom Brady's arm strength is superior to what Peyton was at the end?
Oh, definitely.
I don't see Tom Brady throwing ducks. I just see not going to the receiver.
But here's the problem. There's a lack of communication, and it's glaring. BT said this in the break before, as we were getting ready to come into this segment. There was a lot of passes that fell into open field. Like, nobody around. where's the receiver in this one?
Mm-hmm.
And when you go back and watch it, he's giving signals, right? He's telling them, you know, run a fade or run a slant here or run a, you know, hitch and go or whatever it is. And they highlighted this on the broadcast a little bit. Tom's frustrated. And when he talks about those frustrations, it's not necessarily lack of success, even though that's the end result. It's more he can't communicate in game. Like, what made Peyton Manning so great was his manipulation of a defense in real time. I mean, game planning and all that stuff,
sure,
you have to do, but it was real time. You stand at the line of scrimmage, a defense comes up and gives you something. Peyton Manning sitting there smirking in his
laughing.
He's laughing at, yeah, good luck. Omaha, change to something else, whatever it is. And all of a sudden, you got guys running free and open, and he's manipulated and taking advantage of what you were trying to do to him. Tom Brady is that same type of player. He mm-hmm. sees it. Like, he understands what defenses are trying to do. And in order for a big play, or at least a successful play to happen, he needs to communicate to his wide receivers. Now, he's trying to do that, and these guys aren't getting it, whether it's Dorsett or whether it's Mohamed Sanu, who had a big drop in this game. There's just a lack of chemistry between Tom Brady and his receiving core, and I don't know how you, like, aren't there yet. Right, I know there's been some ins and outs, and guys been banged up.
N'Keal Harry came back a couple weeks back, so he's trying to find his way.
Edelman was
banged up. Edelman has been hurt really since the beginning with the rib. Remember, he got hurt with his rib.
But how do you?
I don't know.
How do you not have that yet?
Don't know.
And so that's what's confounding when you mm-hmm. watch this Patriots team, because they've never been in this situation where Tom is frustrated or his receiving core is confused, and when they need to turn the switch up just a little bit, they can't do it. Right now, they're trying to turn the switch up, and they can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first time in a long time that we've seen the Patriots in this predicament.
And, you know, one of the plays that really jumps out, you talk about where ball's hitting turf, Edelman down the seam, double team. They double teamed him all night.
Yeah.
And he threw the ball almost to the left, like almost to toward the left flat,
yeah,
toward the end zone. Nobody was there.
That's right.
And that's just not being on the same page. But, you know, listen, if I understand, you know, Tom Brady is a sporting icon.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, his sideline tantrums are a little off-putting at this point.
Getting there a little
bit. Come on, man.
He's 42 years old.
So what does that mean?
Look, he wants to win one more.
What is 42? What is that, an excuse?
No, it's not an excuse.
That's Peyton Manning doing that.
But he's also frustrated. And I don't think...
Welcome to the real life. You know, what most quarterbacks deal
true,
with.
True, but he's not used to it.
Well,
he hasn't had this. Also, their run game is not nearly what it used to be. Like, we'll talk about all of this success that the Patriots have had offensively and, you know, Super Bowls, et cetera. It's all because there's this committee of running backs to get it done, whether it's little check down passes or, man, where did he pop out for 15 yards on this, you know, a zone read or something. Not a zone read, but you know what I mean, a zone run,
mm-hmm.
or whatever it may be. That's not happening. And as a result, Tom Brady currently is leading the NFL in pass attempts, right? Tom Brady's throwing the ball more than any other quarterback in the national football. And that's saying a lot with Jameis Winston and some of these other quarterbacks that are forced to throw the ball all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So they're outside of their comfort zone. And at this point, you're three quarters of the way through the season. I don't know how you correct it and get right for the
postseason. You bring in Antonio Brown.
And that's the question that everybody wants to ask. Is it time to bring in Antonio Brown? Because right now you have Julian Edelman trying to run your extended routes, right? You have Julian Edelman clearing people out, going deep. If you're not respecting that. I love Julian Edelman. He's a heck of a football player. He's not scaring me when he tries to go, you know, 50 yards
outfield. Not scared a single defensive back in the NFL.
And so,
not a single one.
What do you do at this point in the season when you need somebody to stretch the field and open things up for you? Because that's where they make their hay. Stretch the field, run crossing routes.
They were hoping Gronk was coming back. He can't. That expired.
That's right. So what do you do? Antonio Brown.
You know,
and
I gotta
dangerous.
Tell you.
It's dangerous because you don't know what's going to happen.
I'm not even sure if it's dangerous.
Well, it's dangerous because you sign him, and then the league says, good luck.
You know what,
we're
though?
Suspending you.
I'm looking at this from two different ways. I don't want to see Antonio Brown on my footballs, on my TV screen playing football. I've said that on the show. I don't want to see him play.
Yep.
I don't. Next year, maybe, I just need to think he needs to be away from football for a little bit. But if I'm the Pats, I'm doing everything I can to coerce Kraft.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we need him. We need him. We are largely inept, scattered, inefficient, unpredictable offense. And to your point, he is 42. Time's ticking.
That's right.
So, you know, Belichick seemed to enjoy coaching him. And Brady, you know, he's liked his post on social media. There's no rift there.
No.
I mean, he wants him. So I'd get on my hands and knees and I'd start begging. Come on, Robert, we need help. And I'll drop you off at the massage parlor. The next one's free on me. Just bring him in. Oh, God. All right. Oh, you know what? I do want to play this cut real quick before we get to Axe Update. Here's Tom Brady on the recent execution, which has been very poor.
Mm-hmm. Just execution. So just got to do a better job, and tough to get behind and come back and put ourselves in a pretty deep hole. You know, you can't do that on the road. You know, I think we're all trying to do, you know, is a good job out there, and you know, I give them credit. They played well. You know, we didn't make enough plays, and just
let me ask you a question, and you would have a better pulse on this than me as a former player, obviously. You know, I you know, my style, I would love to play for a coach that, you know, was loud, and that wouldn't bother me.
Yeah.
You know, but at what point are you showing up your receivers? Like, I'm honestly, and I'm not even trying to stir the pot. Like, at what point are you now officially showing up your wide receivers?
It's getting there.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. Because, look, it is a collective. It is a team game. And we'll talk about the star, in this case, Tom Brady. And it can't be his fault. Look, he's Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. He's the GOAT.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as a result, it falls on everybody else who's part of that equation. And so the receivers, who, yes, do need some work. And whether it's communicating or not, or execution, whatever it is, they do need some work. But you don't want to be called out about it. Especially if it's not all your fault. Because mm-hmm. we don't know. I mean, maybe it is all their fault. I don't know. Even if it is, you don't want to be called out about it publicly. This is the Ben Roethlisberger issue from 2 years ago, or last year, I should say. It kind of was ugly in that locker room.
That's right.
So
they got a couple games to get this right. They're playing Kansas City coming up, which mm-hmm. is now taking the ball away from opponents with frequency. Andy Reid now 18-3 coming right off a bye. They just destroyed the Raiders. We'll get to that later. Then they play at Cincy, who played well yesterday. That defense for Cincy's not terrible.
No.
But, it, you know, you imagine you win that. They're
like
the Bills.
They're like Miami. They're playing hard.
They are. So for sure. All right. Coming up, we got a Tiki and Tierney Monday staple here on CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. 5-star rewind. We'll do the college stuff in hour two. Little James Harden, hour three, going off. And what is plaguing the NBA? Got a lot of different stuff for you. Here is Rich Ackerman's update. Ack. All righty, Tiki and Tierney on a Monday here. Obviously, stuffing it all in. Crazy NFL Sunday, college football, all over it here. First up, let's give you a chance to ask us anything you want to ask the pros here. Do it Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on the show. And it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Just tweet us at CBS Sports Radio. At CBS Sports Radio, use the hashtag Ask the Pros. Make sure you stick around, listen later on. Teek and I will answer the best one. So, think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every single day. Before we get to 5-star rewind, which we'll do in a moment here, let's tell you what we have shaking the rest of the show. Top of the hour, so about 17 minutes from now, Alabama, Auburn, Iron Bowl, crazy. The scenarios for Utah. And obviously, that's fourth spot. Teague and yep. I will get into that big time. Harbaugh just can't. I mean, that thing is getting. We're not going to spend a ton of time on that.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't impact the playoffs. But good and by point. The way, his post game press conference, that was a bad look for Jim.
Agreed.
Did you actually hear what he said?
Yeah, when he got frustrated about insulting him, the insults because of they were out coached or out played.
Yeah, I thought it was a very fair inbounds question by the reporter.
I thought it was as you well. Know? Another fair question is, D-Cell, why in the world would you possibly wear a University of Miami sweatshirt. Hey,
he's
today.
A gamer.
Duke. A laundry situation today?
FIU and then Duke. And, I mean, 6-6.
Guess still bowl eligible.
All right.
Bowling.
Okay. I saw this article today. Miami should decline a bowl invitation.
Honestly, they probably should. I mean, going to the bowl that they're going to wind up going is probably worse for their profile than not going at all.
Good point.
You can almost say, hey, we're above that. And we're going to have to fix some things, but no, we're going to decline respectfully.
And risk finishing the season 6-7.
You can lose. That's the other thing. That's true. All right, 5-star rewind. Let's go.
Time to buckle in.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. That's some fun.
Here's your latest 5-star rewind.
Hello?
Tiki and Tierney give you the best highlights from their top 5 games over the past weekend.
I know I'm going to get got, but I'm going to get mine more than I get got, though.
Here we come. It's a man's game now.
All right, as always, we start on the Sunday night stage of the Houston Texans with a message for everybody. Hey, Don't forget about us.
Out of the gun, the gift to Johnson, who gives it back to DeAndre Hopkins, who pitches it to Deshaun Watson, running down the sidelines and running in for the touchdown. Oh, my goodness, DeAndre Hopkins with the option pitch to Deshaun Watson and a touchdown for the Texans. Some razzle-dazzle gives him a 27-9 lead.
Little razz-dazz. That's how it sounded. Kevin Kugler doing his thing on Westwood One. The timing by Hopkins was superb. That was not an easy pitch to catch either. No. It was going end over end. He still caught it nicely.
Well, first of all, it was execution of the play. It was like a double reverse option pitch to the quarterback who dives in. It was flawless execution for a play that you're never going to see on the NFL. That's like a two-minute play. Why would you even call that?
It was
a two-point play.
It was nuts.
It was.
28-22 the final. And if you didn't watch the game, and Pats lost by less than a touchdown. Mm. Not emblematic of the game. They were steamrolled for 75 to 80% of it, if not more.
I agree. BT, we talked all season about how good this New England Patriots defense is, and they've won primarily because of that. Their offense has been a little bit anemic at times. They've given up 4 passing touchdowns all season. They gave up 4 to Deshaun Watson and this Houston Texans offense. So give a ton of credit to the Houston Texans for not being intimidated. Sometimes these teams come in, and if they've been dominated by the Patriots, they're intimidated before the game even starts. They came with a fire today, and it showed.
It's a good point. Again, 28-22, the final. So the Texans, 8-4, they'll host the Broncos, who played pretty well yesterday. Mm-hmm. Big Fangio getting it together out there. That's a 1 Eastern game on CBS. Early line, Houston, -8.5. Big favorites there, as you would imagine. New England, 10-2. And we mentioned this before, they will host the Chiefs, the Pats, early 3-point favorites. Let's keep it bouncing. Up next to Indy, the Ryan Tannehill Renaissance Tour continues, but the Titans also getting a little boost from special teams.
Snap, set, kick, block. Ty Smith has it. 50, 40, 30, 20, 10, 5, end zone. Touchdown, Titans. Ty Smith to the house. It's the first time since 2001, that was 293 games ago. Oh, my.
Wow. Oh, my, indeed. Mike Keith and the Surgeon Titans, the Titans Radio Network. That made it 24-17, and they weren't done. They would tack on another 7 to make it even more appealing to their fans and to their own team. Of course, 31-17, the final. Tennessee's playing pretty well.
Yeah, they are, and it's all not all Ryan Tannehill, but Ryan Tannehill has changed the narrative of this squad, mainly because he pushes the ball downfield, which makes things so much easier for Derrick Henry. We said this last week, and I'll say it again. He's probably the greatest underrated back in football right now. 149 yards. It's his third straight 100-yard game. And in games when he rushes for 100, guess what? The Tennessee Titans win. They're 8-0. Obviously, Ryan Tannehill has been the one with getting all the credit, 5-1 over the last couple of 5-6 weeks that he's started. And for the Indianapolis Colts, they're struggling, and they're struggling because, one, T.Y. Hilton's out, and two, when they need to get points on the board, they can't. We love Adam Vinatieri, but
he's been a problem all season.
Field goals, and two of them were blocks. I don't want to say it's over for him.
No, it's over.
It's over for him, man.
Respectfully, he's been horrendous. He may be the worst kicker in the NFL that still has a job.
That's right.
I mean, even the gimmies are an adventure. By the way, you can't win. Their margin for error is pretty tight. Jacoby Brissett, 2 picks. That's not going to get it done. But they are very close and similar in terms of roster composition, and that's something Tennessee head coach Mike Vrabel touched on postgame.
They'd scored 241, we'd scored 245, whatever it was. We'd given up 219, they'd given up 225. So pretty similarly matched teams. Knew it was going to be close, expected a close game, and that's what it was until somebody was able to make a play.
And the Titans made that play. It's actually made a couple. Tennessee 7-5. They are at the Raiders, who got just walloped by the Chiefs. Titans -3. That's the early line there. The Colts on even footing. 6-up and 6-down at the surging Bucks, and that is 1 Eastern on CBS. Tampa, 3-point favorites. Let's move on to soggy Baltimore at a battle between a pair of heavyweights. And in the end, the golden foot of Justin Tucker sends the Niners back home with an L.
Snap is good. Kick on the way. It is long enough. And the kick is good. The time has come off the clock. The Hayes in the barn. And the Ravens take down the 49ers. And this house is on fire. As the Ravens celebrate at midfield, the fans on their feet, exuberance. And Thanksgiving weekend in Baltimore ends with one more thing to be thankful for.
You know, you can't help but notice the irony. We just touched on Vinatieri. At one point, Adam Vinatieri was like Justin Tucker.
Right.
You know, now Justin Tucker, he's got the golden foot. He never misses big ones. Baltimore gets the win by a 3-spot. Phenomenal game. They're now 10-2 in Buffalo. And the San Francisco 49ers 10 up and 2 down at the Saints. New Orleans -3 early line.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting one, obviously, coming up next week. But this one was all about the legs carrying the day. Lamar Jackson did it with 101 yards, and a rushing TD. For the San Francisco 49ers, it was Raheem Mostert, who rushed for 146, including a 40-yard touchdown jaunt. These two teams are so similar, obviously not in their way that they produce offense, but the way that they are consistent with their offenses. And it's a lot of people said it was a Super Bowl preview. It could be, because these two teams seem like the best in their respective conferences.
Tough to argue. Let's go to Heinz Field. We head there. A rematch between a couple of hated rivals. If the Steelers put the dagger in the Browns' playoff hopes, Duck Hodges, 30 yards to James Washington, pay dirt.
Big rush. He throws it long down the sideline, and there's a man under it. And it's caught.
It's caught.
With a marker down, that's a touchdown for James Washington.
Wow.
Yes. Unbelievable. The marker down. Sheldrick Redwine complains. He's following his comments on deaf ears, and the Steelers, a 30-yard strike, the duck call.
That's outside of Jimmy Hargrove, Steelers Radio Network. And after the game, Baker Mayfield was asked on, you know, whether or not the brawl impacted this matchup.
Didn't play a factor. Obviously, they can use it as momentum for them, you know, feeding off the energy. But we just have to do our job. You know, we expect that type of environment on the road. And anytime you're winning, you can take out the crowd.
Browns are a disaster. Freddie Kitchens wearing the T-shirts of the movies. We'll get to that. Come on. Just a clown show. Pittsburgh 7-5. Tomlin has been great. They're at the Cardinals coming up this weekend. CBS matchup. Steelers 2.5-point favorites in Cleveland. 5-7. Ugly. They host the Bengals. 9-point favorites.
They started 0-3. Were 1-4. They won 3 in a row. Then they took a step back in this brawl. Lost game that Mason Rudolph was heavily involved in a couple weeks ago. But now Mike Tomlin brings his team. They're 7-5. This has got to be his best coaching job. And he's probably in the conversation for coach of the year. You're starting Devlin Hodges and quarterback.
Not that Mason Rudolph was any good either.
True, but he's your third string quarterback this year.
Yeah.
And you're winning football games against a team that had a lot to play for. And you're right about the Cleveland Browns. We'll get to this a little bit later, BT. There's some issues going on there. Right?
Circus.
What Freddie Kitchens did was inexcusable because it's heightening attention to a place that doesn't need attention heightened, highlighted. And then there was also the issue with Demarius Randle, who surprisingly got left home.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot going on with the Cleveland Browns.
And none of it seems to be very good. I hear you. We'll get back to the Browns, obviously. Teague and I carve out a little time to talk about that dysfunctional mess. How about this? Finally, to Arrowhead we go. And Andy Reid, as usual, post by brilliance. And Patty Mahomes showing off the wing and the wheels.
Mahomes takes the snap from Ryder, drifts to his left, holds the ball in his right hand. He can run. He's at the 10. He's at the 5. Angling near front pylon. Touchdown! Kansas City, a 13-yard scramble. They let Mahomes run to the end zone, and the Chiefs lead 13-0.
And that is how it sounded. They were just getting started. They would tack on the PAT, and they would just wallop the Raiders. 40-9, the final, as the Raiders back-to-back horrendous showings. Derek Carr regressing. John Gruden on his quarterback.
I don't know who's making a – I think everybody struggles to a degree in cold weather. That's why a lot of people move south, you know. I got to do a better job helping him. I think it starts with me and ends there, but he's a good quarterback. I think he's got a chance to be great. This wasn't his day. It wasn't our day.
All right, so here's the deal. The Chiefs now 8-4 in Foxborough, 425 Eastern CBS. I mentioned that before. The Raiders, they are now 6-6. They're limping, and they host the Titans, who are hot.
Yeah, they're really hot. And the Oakland Raiders felt like the feel-good story after they started to play well a few weeks ago, but people are starting to get a little sour on Derek Carr and say he's not the guy. Mm. Josh Jacobs had another 100-yard day. We like him, but I wanted to believe they would hang around in this game because it's a division rival, and the Raiders are trying to prove something before they head out to Las Vegas. The Chiefs just proved that they're nowhere in the same class.
Now, they're a middleweight. I don't even know if the Raiders are a middleweight because I'm not so sure that the Chiefs are necessarily a heavyweight.
That's right.
I mean, at this point, I don't know if they're quite the Ravens or the Niners. Or so, listen, the Raiders are – were kind of a year ahead of schedule anyway. No need to really bury them. But I am surprised. I did pick the Chiefs to cover the 10. Mm-hmm. But I did think because Carr was benched, they were embarrassed by the Jets, they would play better instead. They got absolutely thumped. So there you go. 1 hour in the books. We'll get to Alabama. Jim Harbaugh loses again. College football next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.